Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Let's turn back the hands of time, say 50 years. What would the residents of Marion County be doing on a hot summer's evening? In all likelihood, we would be playing or watching a fast-pitch softball game. Let's go in depth with three of Marion County's elite players, Fred Bankus, Pella, Ray Stone, Tracy, and A.B. Davis of Knoxville. Fred, when did you first start playing softball?
I started playing as a youth in 1948 on a kids' team, but then I graduated to the adult team in 1951 for a few games, then 1952 as a regular.
And who did you play for?
I played for the Belinda team. Belinda is a community, more of a rural community, not a city at all, that's halfway between Knoxville and Sheraton, a little bit closer to Sheraton.
Just on the other side of the county line?
Yes, about a mile, mile and a half, yes.
And A.B., when did you start?
1952. I was 14 years old. I played my first adult men's fast pitch game with the Marysville team.
When you were 14?
When I was 14.
You must have been pretty good.
Well, we had softball recess, you know, in school, and that's kind of where it developed. And the regular pitcher for the Marysville team got tossed out of the game, and they were without a pitcher. So one of my classmates said, hey, A.B. can pitch. So out there I got pushed onto the diamond. That's where it started.
Well, how'd you do that first game?
I don't remember. I just went out there and threw hard. My dad was worried that I could even throw a strike, but it worked out okay.
And you went on to a long, successful career.
Well, yeah, about 35 years, roughly.
So you quit in your 40s?
No, I was 50 when I quit.
50 when you quit.
A few old-timers games after that, but actually the last game I played, I was 60 years old.
Now, how was that? How'd you do with that ending?
Well, it wasn't a good conclusion.
Well, and Ray, you're the young whippersnapper here.
Yeah, that's right. I actually started playing fast pitch in 1964. I had an opportunity to watch these two all the time and wanting to get out there and do the same thing they did. And while I was still in high school, I was get the opportunity to play a little bit. And then after I graduated in 66, then it was full-time after that.
Full-time? What do you mean full-time?
Full-time meant you played whenever you can with whoever you could, but then in a small town of Pershing, where I actually came from, is where we first started, and we would play as many games as we could. As 1 year, we ended up playing 104 games in one season, and that was, you know, a couple of three doubleheaders during the night and tournaments on the weekends and just playing as much ball as you could.
Is that how it was with you too, Fred?
Not quite to that degree, no. We played a regular schedule during the summer and went to a few tournaments. I would say that the Belinda team probably averaged around 50, maybe 60 games a season, something like that. Not as many as Ray has just said in his case.
Well, what position did you play?
I was an outfielder, primarily right field for most of my playing career. Right fielders, as you may know, is where they normally put the weakest player in softball. Although I've got a caveat to that in that Junior Nichols, who was our pitcher for Belinda, was a fast pitcher, and so a lot of the right-handed batters would hit to right field.
Well, you must have been a pretty good slugger.
Fairly good. I was not a kind of the weight that I am now, but I could hit the ball with some power, but I was known more as a quick, speedier type player that maybe would get the walk or the single and get on base and possibly steal a base, that type of a player.
I see. And Ray, what position did you play?
Oh, most all of them, eventually. Third base and shortstop a lot, some catching, but that's mostly on the left side of the field.
And a knuckleball pitcher.
And a knuckleball thrower. I was never a pitcher, I was a thrower.
I disagree with Fred on the weakest fielder in right field. My choice was the best fielder to be in right field. And nothing routine goes out to right field. It's always hooking or slicing or it's bouncing and hitting the fence on the foul line. And you need a fast guy out there and one that can play a non-routine fly ball.
So these two guys were pretty good players, huh?
Both of them were excellent, yes.
And how about A.B.? How was he, guys?
He was fair. A.B. was a great pitcher. Probably one of the best, if not the best, that's ever come out of this part of the state. And I'm not, you know, just trying to grease his wheel here by saying that. But he is, if you don't know or our audience doesn't know, he is a member of the Iowa Fast Pitch Hall of Fame. And that accolade does not come to very many people in this area. I only know of two in this whole area that have ever made that, had that distinction made for themselves. And he's one of the two.
And who was the other one?
Junior Nichols, the pitcher for Belinda.
You know, when Belinda and Attica met on the ball field, it was a tussle to behold. It was normally a 1-0 ball game. A lot of them concluded in 45 to 48 minutes. So when the fans came, they didn't have to fight the mosquitoes very long.
And why were they so fast?
Well, not too many base runners.
The pitching was the key?
The pitching was almost always the key in fast-pitch softball. I had the opportunity to play both against and with both of the pitchers that Fred just talked about, A.B. and Junior Nichols. I did some catching for A.B., and I can guarantee you, if he wasn't the best, he was one of the best, just like Fred said. And Junior, when you come up against Junior, we knew why Fred was in right field, and everybody knew that because that's where most of them were going to hit. They'd play us a lot to the right side of the field, you know. But Junior can throw anything at you. He can throw it fast, or he can throw it slow, or he can make you look really foolish on a curveball or something like that. And A.B. was the same way. He could throw a rise ball that would knock your hat off if you wasn't careful, or he could throw a drop that just like rolling a softball off this table that was hard to hit and hard to catch. But they were both excellent ball players and both very deserving of the Hall of Fame award.
I want to say something about Ray. Gig Williams is synonymous with Pershing softball. He's a man who managed, played, kind of ran the show over there for a lot of years. He wrote me a letter many years ago, 10, 15 years ago, chronicling every softball player who'd ever played for Pershing that he knew about, really in detail. He went through a system where he graded every player on about 6 or 8 different categories, and his top player ever at Pershing was Ray Stone.
Yep, that goes on with that.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about fast-pitch softball with Fred Bankus, Ray Stone, and A.B. Davis. Now, this was a very different world back then, wasn't it? Tell us about that world. Tell us how important softball was to the communities.
When I started playing in the early 50s, TV was just getting started. It wasn't the something that people did at night. They didn't go and sit in front of their TV. If there was something to do, an activity like a ball game in your community, the people went. They went to the ball game. Mom, dad, the kids, the whole thing. And they watched it. It was very strong in every community, I think, in Marion County and even and outside that. I don't think you could name a community in the county that probably did not at one time or another have a softball team. Even though there might only be a few people in the town, per se, they all had softball teams. Belinda is a good example. It's outside the county just barely. But in 1950, when they did the census that year, there were 10 people in Belinda. And I don't think it changed for years. That's all the people in the town itself. Attica never had more than 200 or 300 people, if that many. Columbia, Tracy was never big. Bussey, Marysville, you know, you just did Percy. I don't know how many people lived in Percy, 15 or 20. They all had softball teams. It was a big thing, really big. It was the summer activity for the community, not just the ball players, but for the community.
Whole families.
Whole families, absolutely.
It was a social event. Everybody knew most of the nights the ball teams played, whether it was their home field or somewhere else, they would go watch some other ball games. But that was a lot of the entertainment for a lot of them back then. I can remember trying to catch a ride to go watch a ball game or something like that. And but it was a big social event. A lot of involvement family wise with it.
And almost every night, it sounds like, during the summer.
Well, somebody would be playing somewhere every night of the week, yeah. And then later on, when there got to be more leagues in the area, there'd be one in Pella. There'd be some in Ottumwa, some in Des Moines, and some guys actually traveled out. I think Fred still does some traveling to play. He still plays, I believe. So it's still fast pitch isn't as organized as it used to be in the state community-wise. A lot of the rec leagues are playing slow pitch now, but it used to be just a fun event. And, you know, when, like I said, when I played at Pershing, and in 1 year we played 104 games, that was all we did there.
There used to be over 900 teams total in Iowa. And, of course, in Marion County alone there was 9 or 10. So an average of 10 or so per county. When those teams all battled to get to the state tournament, it was quite a feather, you know, to make it to the state tournament. And to place in that tournament was quite an achievement, too, with that many teams. Now it's dwindled down. It's still an Iowa fast-pitch softball sport, but there's, you know, very, very few teams.
Compared to the old days.
Right.
Now, how did our teams do in the state competition? Any great teams that went far?
Well, yeah, I played on several teams that went to the state tournament and did pretty well. Attica went a time or two, lost some close games to some of the best teams in the state, like the Boone Merchants. We lost that game after a home run hit the foul pole and fell the wrong way. Otherwise, we'd have won. Interrupted my honeymoon to attend that tournament. With the Ottumwa team, I went several times to the state tournament, and we finished as high as fifth and seventh. And with the Sully Merchants, we finished as high as third and fifth in the open division, and we won the Class A state championship 2 years in a row, 72 and 73.
So how did you get around to all those teams? Is that how it would work? People would play for different teams?
Well, mostly it was loyalty to a home team, but there was a tear there to, if you were not loyally attached to a home team, to play wherever you wanted to or wherever they wanted you to. So when I was invited to play with the Sully team, I was 35 years old then and played there until I was 50. So it was pretty much past my heyday, but played with a really good team there.
And Fred, did I hear him right that you're still playing?
Yes, that is true. Not fast pitch, of course, but slow pitch. I'm on a team, a Midwestern team, made up of players from Iowa and Nebraska. In fact, I've got a tournament tomorrow and Thursday in the Quad Cities. We're playing a regional tournament there, and I still play slow pitch softball. And it's age group there, so I'm fortunate that I don't have to play against the young guys that are 60. I play with the guys that are in their 70s, so it makes it somewhat competitive that way still. But there will be teams there from the Twin Cities and Chicago and perhaps Milwaukee, as well as our Iowa-Nebraska team of which I play for. Still a lot of fun, and the competition is close because we're all the same age, and we can still play. You know, we can still run, throw, and hit, and if you can still do that and enjoy it. It's still a lot of fun.
Do you ever want to get on the field with some of the younger guys?
Not really. Not really. I think we had that experience a time or two in some of these old-timer games. I can recall one at A.B. may have been there. I don't know. I know his son was there. We played in Lacona a few years, probably 10 years ago now, and we had an old-timers team of A.B. and his son and Norm Robinson and myself. And I don't know if you were there or not, Ray, at that particular tournament. But we played a nondescript team of, I say that not facetiously, but of younger guys from the Lacona area, probably average or better athletes. They wiped us clean. You know, we couldn't keep up with them at all. We couldn't keep up with them.
Do you ever have the urge to pick up your glove again, Ray?
No, I'm happy to sit and watch my grandchildren play now. I think I could still hit it and still throw it, but running after, it's a little different story right now. But you had mentioned earlier about the state tournament trips, and I had played with a team out of La Villa 1 year, and we did qualify for the state tournament that year and went to Sioux City and ended up playing Abey's team. So we were over up there. We didn't get very far. But the trips doing that, the camaraderie that you build with the team members and everybody in the community, and it was fun time. It was a lot of fun.
Maybe I should mention here that the blended team, our records show that we went to the state tournament 4 times in our history. The best year, I think, was 1956. We won our first 2 games and got beaten our 3rd game. Which would have put us in the top 8, but we didn't have a playoff to see, if we were 7th or 5th or whatever it was. But that was the best we did. But we made the tournament 4 different times. And you had to qualify through district tournament to get there. And that was involving 6 or 8 counties you had to win or get 2nd, I think, in that tournament in order to make it to state. So the team had to play pretty well just to get there, in those days at least, to make it to the state.
And a lot of it was single elimination. You couldn't have a bad game.
That's right.
And now a lot of the tournaments are double elimination. You can have a bad game and still come back and win from the loser's bracket.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about fast pitch softball with Fred Bankus, Ray Stone, and A.B. Davis.
Do you think that we have lost something in our communities because we aren't as involved in softball anymore, that the communities don't rally around it like they used to?
Well, I would say yes to that question. That's pretty obvious, but I think it involves a lot of aspects of life, not just fast pitch softball of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s, but I think all aspects of life. You can get big crowds to see some events where you're a spectator, the races in Knoxville as an example, but you won't likely get this type of thing happening in the communities with adults. You will for your high school teams, following those teams, of course, but I don't think the adults you'll have that. And I think we've lost something, but it's change, and there's not much can be done about it.
Yeah, same thing. You mentioned the ability to play, the opportunity to play, and what more can you say about a game when somebody would interrupt their honeymoon because of a ball game, I guess. But, it was good stuff. It was good memories, and I don't want to step back out there either right now and watch them either. So,
one thing that was an advantage to the athletes that wanted to play was the hard work and dedication of the managers and the coaches of the teams. And they took care of the hard stuff, scheduling the ball games, getting the diamond ready, making sure the lights were paid for, umpires, all that stuff that we didn't have to worry about. We just showed up with our ball glove and spikes and went out there and had fun. It was a great era for families, too.
And so this was a social event for the wives, I presume?
Yeah, most of the wives were as enthusiastic about the ball games as we were.
You sit there and root you on, they'd all be sitting together talking and having fun on the bleachers and yelling for you, and the one right next to them was yelling for someone else, but they all had a good time sitting in the bleachers together and talking.
Changing diapers at the same time.
Exactly, exactly.
I bet the kids had fun, too.
Yes, they did. There are I wrote a newsletter for about 7 years, and I researched a lot of the talking to people who had attended games at Belinda in their youth. And some of the stories I got were really heartwarming. Even some marriages came out of first meeting at the Belinda ballpark. I found that out. First date, that type of thing. So it was, it was a social thing. A lot of fun.
And the older kids, the ball game to them was chasing foul balls out into the cornfield there at Belinda, searching in the dark and finding that ball, returning it to the concession stand and getting a nickel or a choice of candy. Yeah, that was sport for all of them. Of course, there was a race to get the ball. The whole gang would head for wherever the foul ball went.
So lots of memories for a lot of people. A lot of memories, yeah. There's like community wide, everybody remembers it. Everybody still speaks to you and says it's a good day to play two again, you know, and things like that. And I attended a baseball game last night over in Pella. Watched my grandson, and one of the players that I used to play against from one of the Pella teams was sitting there, and we sat and visited a little bit about it, and you know, and about how it was and how it is now and how good we used to be, you know. The older you get, the better you get, things like that. But it was fun stuff.
Any last thoughts on that wonderful game?
I'm glad that I was able to be a part of it. It was a big part of my youth and early adulthood, and I have very fond memories of it and shall always have that. So I feel fortunate to have been in that era.
Yeah, and as the baby of the group, I feel real fortunate to have the opportunity to watch these two play and then play against them and with them. And then continue that with some of the younger group that came up later and some of the kids that got out of high school. Even in the late 80s, we had started a fast-pitch team in Pella. One of the coaches over there, Gene Van Wyk, and we played in a Marshalltown league after that. And I played up till 96, but boy, am I glad I had the opportunity. It was fun stuff.
Yeah, and I think the relationships we formed over the years were important, too. That's part of the memories. I still keep in touch with people in California and Minnesota that I played with and against. So it was kind of a lifestyle and a sport, contact with people.
Thanks to Fred Bankus, Ray Stone, and A.B. Davis for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
The home team, if they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com, on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.